your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heisig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
No. Welcome to the USSR space program. We are here and we are launching monkeys into space.
Pew, pew, pew.
You need to get with the times, Steve-O.
Yeah, man. Oh, this
USSR
is good.
USSR space program.
See, this this song is way better than Fall Out Boy.
What?
Oh, Nate.
Dude, this is classic White Album.
Oh, no, man.
I agree.
Welcome
I agree.
To Shock Therapy Live / the USSR space program.
No, it's not slash.
No, not slash. It's USSR space program.
Pew, pew.
Formerly known as Shock Therapy Live.
Okay.
We launch monkeys into space.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Either way, it is Wednesday. It's 9 o'clock. It's your one-hour call-in show. Maybe you're having a rough week, bro. Or ladies. Maybe you're just having a hard time dealing with life. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe everything's great. You just don't know how to handle a neighbor. Maybe somebody asks you a question and you're like, I don't even know how to respond to that. That's what we're here for. That is the topic of conversation this morning. Shock Therapy Live USSR space program. It's not going to catch on, guys. It's not going to catch
on.
This
is the second week in a row.
Oh, man.
Which is funny because a couple people at the Is God Dead debate series totally referenced the USSR space program, not Shock Therapy Live.
Dude, it's catchy.
It's not catchy.
Dude, gosh. It's catchy.
It's got a ring to it.
It does.
Oh, man.
Pew, pew.
It's like you just hear Star 88, and the first thing you think of is USSR space program.
Yeah, that's totally
at least
not
normal people.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Normal people.
Oh, man.
Man, it is Wednesday morning. We want to hang out with you. Give us a call. 505-338-3700, the phone number.
We need to get a mascot, Bubbles the Monkey, and we can put a Star 88 shirt on him.
That's actually
and blast him into space.
Fantastic idea.
Blast him into space.
Oh, man. Where were you when
Hillsong United did it with their record. Why can't we do it with a monkey?
Oh, man. They what? They blasted their record into space?
Into space.
What?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Incredible. Oh, man. It is time for some Shock Therapy Live. And we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
We've already got a few email questions. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, we understand that this show, there's sensitive subject matter. So if you would like to talk to us, but you want it kept anonymous, we will respect that. Send us an email, studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. That being said, I know we've gotten a lot of great new listeners to Star 88. We are a brand new radio station. And for that reason, we want to remind everybody week in and week out, Shock Therapy Live is definitely TVMA. It is for mature audiences.
It is Daredevil, not Flash.
Yes, there you go.
Good.
That doesn't mean anything to you if you don't watch comic book shows. Yeah.
Nate,
you get it.
But Nate, the dude that mocks Comics Corner, just said that. So.
He referenced it. It's good.
Very good. I like that. It is not The Flash, that is for sure. So, however, we talk about things like that. So, maybe you're dealing with somebody in your office that is The Flash.
That's a superhero.
That is The Flash. I love that you didn't even try to disguise it. You're dealing with someone in your office who has super speed and is always going over to this crazy guy's lab. And
you never know.
You just said, maybe you're dealing with a guy in the office who's Flash.
Yes, yes. Oh, we want to hear from you. studio@star88.fm. Or if you're so bold, facebook.com/star88fm. I know we got a Facebook question as well already. So
we do.
We will tackle all of these.
And if you're even bolder, you can call us.
And that's what we love.
338.
We love phone calls. We love talking to you guys. So if you're listening right now and you've got a question, maybe you've been dealing with something in your life and you want to just get some clarity on it, give us a call.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got a friend. I know a lot of times we like to disguise ourselves with, I've got this friend.
Yeah, I got a friend.
Maybe you've got a friend.
Yeah.
Who looks exactly like you.
Yeah, and is dealing with the same things you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can call too.
Totally cool. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Pastor Nate Heitzig joining us in studio for questions. I'm glad you're here today, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night concert.
Chris Dude, that Tomlin, was fun, man. That was so good. Yeah. You know what this, honestly, this is what I thought of the whole time. Listening to Ren Collective, 10th Avenue North, Chris Tomlin, I was like, I'm glad we changed our format.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Because I was listening to all that music. I was like, this is great. And you see, more than any other music within Christianity, worship music unifies people.
Amen.
And you see all those people in that room, a ton of people unified, lifting their hands, singing songs because it's worship music.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that kind of a response to other Christian bands when they come in town.
Right.
But it's worship music. Yeah. So I was listening to that music. I was like, this is all really good music. Ren Collective rocking it with this folk bluegrass. You know, everyone's jumping around, going nuts. 10th Avenue North comes up, and I'm sitting there watching them thinking, man, they're like a Christian One Republic.
That's exactly what I said last night.
That's so funny.
Dude, yeah. They became next level after seeing
so
live.
Good. I say a Christian One Republic when the lead singer of One Republic is
Christian. A
Christian.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I was saying. You know, he's a Christian.
No.
Actually, the Christian One Republic is One Republic. So.
And then you have Chris Tomlin come up there, the most sung person in history.
Yeah, David. David, he actually wrote the Psalms for David. He's a time traveler.
He was a
ghost.
Oh
my gosh.
So, yeah, I don't
did,
know if
did you
know.
Guys, did you guys know that he's the most sung person in he's the most sung artist in
that.
The world?
I believe that.
Time magazine named him as the most sung artist in the world.
Yeah, last night when he took the stage.
Not just
like,
worship artist,
it was
artist.
Late, and I was thinking, man, I am sleepy. I've been up since 4. I got to go to bed. And then he kicked it off with How Great Is Our God, and I thought, I could stay for a song or two or 4. For 5.
Dude, you know, it's funny because a lot of times I think it's easy to talk about worship music and say, oh, you know, Hillsong United, they're the new thing, or oh, this band's the new thing. Dude, Chris Tomlin has got it, man.
Yeah.
He has got the gifting, and every one of those songs, everybody knew and everybody was singing to.
All right, enough shaming everybody who didn't go to the concert.
No, more shame. Let's throw some more shame on there.
Pour it on, man.
No, hey, if you did miss it, though, we do got coming up in June, Hillsong Young and Free
man,
is going to be
so
here.
Excited.
Another Star 88 concert.
Yeah, dude.
And so it's going to be a
Saints,
great
worship show. We've got Copper Lily coming, Hillsong Young and Free, and that's just the beginning.
Crystal Lewis.
Oh, I forgot about that. You know, my wife loves Crystal Lewis. So
dude, she'll be stoked.
She's stoked. Yeah, she is stoked.
That's cool.
So does my mom.
It's Mother's Day. That's okay. That's your wife and your mother.
Yeah.
We brought her in for Mother's Day because we knew that's the only day that the fathers will tolerate it. They're like, okay, it's Mother's Day.
Well, it is Mother's Day.
I guess I can't complain.
Wow, and that's why at Shock Therapy Live, we're always honest. 505-338-3700. You want some honesty? Send us your questions. studio@star88.fm. What do we got?
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm a fan of Shock Therapy and really enjoy your show.
We really enjoy you, even though we don't know you.
I really like how you guys try to answer questions with God's Word. I would like some advice on my situation. I'm 22 and the oldest of 3 kids. I also currently attend college. I'm a relatively young Christian. I've been, quote-unquote, saved for about 6 years-ish, but have actually been seeking God and a relationship with Him for the past 3 years. I live with my parents and my brother and sister and don't really have plans to move out yet due to a lack of income that would, you know, allow me to live on my own. My family call themselves Christian, but I'm the only active Christian. I do not know if my parents are saved, but they do not have the fruits of a Christian. My sister isn't, and my brother was saved about 3-ish years ago, but is not really active in seeking God. When I was first saved, I would point out my family's sin and judge them, but now I see that it's not my place to judge my family and point out their sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's my job to love my family, try to point them back to Christ.
Amen.
However, my family now judges me and makes fun of me. I know some of it is just them joking around, and some of it might be from them being hurt when I judge them. So my question is, how do I appropriately treat them in love? Am I just to take their judgment, tolerate their sin, keep loving them, and wait on God to work on them? Am I kind of getting hurt by them? I am kind of getting hurt by them making fun of me and pointing out every time I mess up. But every time I try to ask them to stop, they accuse me of trying to guilt trip them or that I'm judging them. I just don't really know what to do. Any advice or help is much appreciated.
Man, so you're in a tough position because at one time, you know, it says that you did try to judge them and you tried to maybe be condescending with them. I'm not sure exactly what the scenario was, but at one point the roles were reversed. And now you're in the situation that they were in and you realize that it's uncomfortable and you want it to stop. You know, I think that at some point you either need to do one of two things. You either need to sit down with your mom and dad. I don't know if it's your mom and dad who are doing this. I'd probably be led to believe it's more likely your brother and sister than it is your mom and dad. I don't see mom and dad joking like, ha ha, stupid Christian. Right. I mean, maybe they are, but maybe. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think at some point you need to sit down with them and let them know, look, I don't believe you guys are malicious. I don't believe you guys are actually trying to hurt me. But I want you to know that when you say those things, it genuinely hurts me. Right. You know, it's one thing when someone's making fun of you, say, stop it, stop it. You know, it's another thing to sit down with them while they're not doing it, when you're not in the moment, and say, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm sure you don't mean it this way, but this is how it makes me feel. So I think you probably need to sit down and have a conversation with them. And then number two, as far as the way your parents are living, as far as, you know, their walk with God, so on and so forth. Right now, you're living in their house. You're living off of them. Yeah. If you want to have an ear to speak into their life and call them out on sin, then you need to find the means to move out of their house. And that would be kind of the route that I would take. I think at this point, you know, you're still under their house. You're still under their authority. You're still under, you know, their financial aid. And so I think at this point, I don't think it's right or God-honoring to criticize your parents while you're living in their house, regardless of how they're living. And I know that sounds strange, but you know, you are still a child and you're still called to honor your mother and father.
Yeah.
Now, I think when you're moved out of their house, you have a little bit more room and a little bit more of an ear to speak into their lives. But at this juncture, I don't believe you have that ear into their lives at this point. So at this juncture, I would say continue to just live differently. Continue to just love Christ. Let your life show the love of Christ. If they make fun of you, don't make fun of them back. Don't Right. say anything to them about it. I do think it's okay to sit down separately and say, hey, when you do that, it hurts my feelings. But, you know, never attack back. Yeah. Never be malicious back. And let your actions truly show the love of Christ. And you know, hope that will give ear into their lives at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I also immediately thought of the fact that God's grace is just so, for lack of a better word, amazing. And the idea that, you know, when you screw up, you know, your family members are pointing out your sin, should be a cool avenue to discuss God's grace with your family. Because as she's saying, or he, whoever it is saying, hey, you know, they point out my faults, my failures, my mistakes. And you used to point out and judge and condemn that, you can say, you know, you can just point back to the blood of Christ, the fact that you were redeemed, the fact that you were saved, the fact that his grace is enough for you now. Maybe you could point them to that, you know, when they screw up and so that they don't feel quote unquote judged. Because I know we can be very condemning as Christians. We can attack and we can say for the sake of love, you know, I have to attack this person, i.e., you know, sometimes we'll get some malicious things. Like this week on Facebook, a very malicious comment on our Facebook page that ended with, I say this in love. God bless. Christians can say some of the worst things and put it under the guise of love, you know,
yeah.
And as if that makes it okay. Like, hey, man, I don't mean to be a complete tool, but, you know, and then.
Well,
blah,
and this
blah,
is
blah,
the
blah.
Reality. When they say that, when they say something like that, it's really not in love because actions are louder than words, yeah. And love doesn't just talk. Love walks.
Yeah.
And so when they do something stupid and they say they did it in love, that's just a lie. It's not in love. It's just it's just something you say to make yourself feel better when it's really not in love, it's really in malice.
Right. I think it'd be a great opportunity to talk to them about the grace of God and the fact that, you know what, we aren't perfect. You are going to screw up. You are going to make mistakes, but that's not it. You know, you still follow Christ. And maybe at one point you were very condemning and very judgmental to their actions or whatever it was in their lives that you didn't like. And so you were constantly pointing out their sin. And now it's kind of being done to you. And feel free to have an open conversation about the fact that that's not it.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually not a bad idea. Maybe even sit down with them and don't even talk about the way it's hurt you to be made fun of or the way it's hurt you to be ridiculed. Maybe just sit down with all of them and say, hey, I just wanted to take a second and apologize for the way that I used to treat you.
Absolutely.
There was a time when I was walking with God and I thought that I had the right to call you out and to ridicule you, and I realized I didn't, and I apologize for that. I love you guys, and if you ever need anything, let me know. And don't even talk about yourself of, you know, it hurts me. but just apologize to them and see how far that goes. Absolutely. And I bet that would really soften their hearts.
It's wonder what grace does. You know, when we show that last night, 10th Avenue North, there was a great moment where it seemed like between every single song he was preaching, dude had
he's
words
a good
for
preacher.
Days. Yeah, I was just like taking everything in, and it was talking about
he's funny too.
Hurt people, right? So hurt people hurt others, but he was saying that forgiven people forgive others. And if we are forgiven, if we truly believe that Christ has forgiven us, we will in turn forgive others. And so to be able to go back to your family as someone forgiven by Jesus Christ and to be able to just flat out say, hey, I love you guys, and I'm sorry for the past, for me being malicious. It wasn't my intent, but I was wrong in my approach and my response to you, because that's not the way that God views me, you know? And so to be able to point to the grace of God would be fantastic.
Dude, I've got a little bit of a man crush on the guy from 10th Avenue North.
He has a lot of bit. I saw him. He was doing this. He was throwing his hands up.
Oh, shut up.
You were waving it in the air like you just don't care.
I was watching you, and you looked like you were crying at every song.
I probably was.
I looked over, and you were sitting there. You were like, no, you were like this, and then you'd look over at your kids, and you'd go,
dude,
you'd nod your head, and then you'd turn back, and it looked like you had tears in your eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh, what a sap.
Dude,
a bearded, tattooed sap.
My 11-year-old, my 9-year-old, and my 2-year-old were all like arms in the air, worshiping, and it's just to see your kids doing that,
dude,
I seriously like lost it.
I looked over, and I was like, I can't wait till my son's old enough to go to a Christian concert with me.
Yeah.
Did you guys see what I was doing? It's because I was screaming out curses at people while I was driving the van back here.
I'm sorry.
Why can't people drive?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. I it was cool. I want people to learn how to drive.
Yeah.
We get a call. Hey guys, someone in a Star 88 van flipped me off.
No, I wouldn't do that.
It is shock therapy.
I would only flip somebody off in Christian love. That's what I would do. I would flip them off. I'd roll the window down. That's a Christian love! Get out of the road!
See how that doesn't work, guy, on
doesn't
Facebook?
Work. Okay. Doesn't work.
Facebook.com.
You gotta take it all the way. Just run them off the road.
Let's play the heaven or hell game. Where are you going?
That's awful. Turn it into a gospel opportunity.
/star88fm. You can also email us studio@star88.fm. I'm so thankful we somehow haven't gotten canceled yet. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
USSR Space Program.
Speaking of the grace of God. Man, let's go to Facebook. We have a few comments on Facebook or a few questions that people have.
We got a guy that says, good morning, love your show. I work with a gay male Wiccan who hates Christians.
Wow.
I don't share my faith with him because we work alone at night in a warehouse, and I just don't want to argue with him. I'm sure I'm wrong to do this. Any advice? Thanks.
Man. Okay, he's a gay male Wiccan.
Yeah.
They work alone in a warehouse.
Who is antagonistic.
That's just like a little bundle of sin.
A bundle of sin?
That's what he should say to him, Nate, right? He should say, hey, aren't you just a bundle of sin?
I know!
I just picture him introducing himself. Hi, I'm a gay male Wiccan.
Yeah. Join us this Sunday at Calvary Albuquerque.
So basically you're like Harry Potter.
Jesus loves gay male Wiccans. That's a tough question. How does he respond? In all seriousness,
we're not
the
being
truth.
Serious right here, now.
Obviously, not.
Yeah. By the way, I don't call people bundles of sin. Today.
Exactly, and
for real.
Because here's the truth.
Just on radio.
That is the purpose of the series right now at Calvary Albuquerque. Because the truth is, Jesus loves gay male Wiccans. And so as we say that, it sounds snarky, but that's the truth. And that's our response should be, man, that is a human being that Jesus Christ died for, not, man, here's the three labels I'm going to place on them. And I do it.
Yeah.
We all do it.
We all do it.
But it ought not be that way. We should be. Did I just Old Testament, like, totally
dude,
King James version that? It ought not be so.
Whoa. You hath done
again,
this.
Again, everything today is going back to 10th Avenue North songs. He did that song, you're more than your mistakes, you're more than the sum of your, you know, you are, I forget the lyrics, but it was
you
good.
You Remade,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was a good song.
Absolutely.
But, so the question that he was asking is that he doesn't want to work with him, is that, what was he saying?
He doesn't know how to respond.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He works alone in a warehouse, and right now he's just kind of like, I'm not going to say anything to him because I don't want to quarrel.
I find the best thing to do with someone who has different beliefs than you is ask them about it. Say, hey, so tell me about your beliefs. Like, yeah. what do you guys do? You know,
tell me about your life.
I've never really studied what a Wiccan does. You know, what do you guys do? You know, to explain to me, you know, your life. Tell me about how you grew up. You have a lot of time working with him by yourself. I'd find out everything you can about his life from when he was a kid to today. Learn everything about him.
Yeah.
Because what it's going to do is going to do two things. It's going to show him that, number one, you care about him. You care about his life. You care about who he is. You know, and then number two, it's going to give you an ear down the road to speak into his life, because he's going to recognize you as someone who knows about his life.
Earn the right to be that person's friend. Earn the right to share the love of Jesus Christ with them, because I think a lot of times it's like, okay, guys, I didn't find the handbook for how to respond to a gay witch. I don't know what to do.
It wasn't in Harry Potter.
It wasn't. It really wasn't Dumbledore. However, we need to be able to earn that right, because the truth of the matter is we look at them with labels. We don't look at them as a human being. And, I used to work in a place where 60% of the people I worked around were homosexuals, and it was the first time I'd ever been I guess you would say, in a working environment like that. And it was amazing. Guess what? They're humans, and they love pizza, and they, you know, it's like, oh, you like going to movies too? Oh, that's weird. I didn't know that you guys did stuff like that. Oh, you're a human. We for so long as a church have like put these weird labels on people as if that is who they are and that's their identifier. But that shouldn't be. I think that's why this morning on Comics Corner we were talking about the fact that, you know, Marvel decided to write Iceman as a gay character now. They changed his sexual orientation, and they're like, Iceman's gay. And it just kind of threw everything for a loop, because you are more than just this weird label that someone has placed on you because of a thought or an idea or an attitude. And yet we just want to kind of put the label and go, no, this is who you are. This is it. This is the be all end all. And that's not it. You're a human being that is a soul that was created in the image of the invisible God. And man.
So I think, you know, learn about this guy, get to know him, become his friend, maybe even ask him to hang out sometime outside of work. Not like a date or anything, but, you know, just say, hey, you know, would you want to, I don't know if there's anyone else who works at your warehouse, but maybe say, hey, would you want to maybe go out sometime, get some of the people from our work and go to a movie or something, or just try to find ways to hang out and get to know this guy, and it'll give you an opportunity to speak into his life.
I think a lot of times we as Christians get fearful because it's like, oh, I work with a guy who's Muslim, or I work with a guy who's an atheist or a Wiccan. I don't want to learn, because as soon as I ask a question, if I don't have an immediate biblical response, I'm screwed, you know, and that's not the case. We get like this weird ongoing guard, I have to have a rebuttal for their life every second. And if you just actually treated them like a human, just hung out with them, learned about them, not so that you can have a biblical rebuttal for their lifestyle, but to actually learn about who they are and how they came to be who
they
are.
It's like, what's the guy that came yesterday for Staff Devo?
Yes,
KP.
KP said something yesterday. He said
a lot of things.
He said, compassion and love are more important than being right.
Yes.
And so I have a challenge. If you're a Christian out there, if you're reducing someone to a label, flip the script. How often do you like it when somebody reduces you to a Christian label?
Because we're intolerant.
Yeah, we're known for being just like the people from Westboro Baptist Church.
Right.
When people say Christian, that's the first thing that comes to a lot of people's mind. How do you like that?
Right.
When somebody who's not a Christian labels you like that? Well, in turn, don't treat other people like a label.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're really just writing them off so you don't have to be a part of their life and show them love. That's all you're doing.
Yeah. That's good.
We're not, and definitely not saying that to the person calling like, oh, bro.
No. He's genuinely asking how to do it.
Which is great. Yeah. That's the first step.
I'm talking to the people that are walking around saying, no, you're wrong, and here's the verse that says why. See ya.
Yeah.
You know?
I say that.
growing up in the South, that's exactly how I was, not necessarily taught, but that's how it was insinuated. And it's because I guess we didn't want God to be mad at us for talking to gay people, but then you're like, what?
Right.
I don't know.
That's weird, because God talks to you every day, you sinner.
what if Jesus did that in the Bible, like, tax? Oh, sorry, I can't talk to you. My dad's going to get mad.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think Christianity would have worked.
Right? Yeah, and there it is. So it is Shock Therapy Live. Steve Oteo and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you. We'd love to chat. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. And if it is a sensitive question, we will respect your privacy.
We had a phone call before, but they hung up.
They did.
They hung up.
You can call us back.
That's not nice.
I know. Send us your anonymous emails as well. studio@star88.fm.
I wonder if when people call in, because we accept the phone call, but we no longer have a producer Doug to say, hey, sweet, hold on Douglas, a second.
If you would love to hang out for an hour because you love Shock Therapy Live and you're just good at answering phones and taking people's information, send us an email, studio@star88.fm.
You can be an unpaid intern.
You can be an unpaid hanger-outer at Star 88. Yes, we're serious. So
that's funny. All right, now in a related question.
Okay.
This is on Facebook. I was watching the news this morning and there was a segment about transgender kids. I know God never has or will ever make a mistake. I guess my question is, how do you handle or answer a question of, quote, I think God made a mistake when he made me?
Well, that's interesting because the question started off with, I know God never makes a mistake, but how do you handle the question?
Well, this is the thing. It really comes to a point when someone says, I think God made a mistake, it takes the onus of ultimate authority from God and on them. They become God because they say at that point that they believe this is how they should have been created.
Right.
And you know, they're not basing that in factual reality. They're basing it off of a way that they feel, off of emotions, which emotions are very, very misleading.
Yeah.
And so to take that and say, I think God made me the wrong way, puts the onus of ultimate authority and godship upon the person and off of God. Mm. And so that's the dangerous part, is they all of a sudden become judge and jury, and they are able to say within one comment, saying something like that, you know, it's saying something like that is almost like saying, can God create a rock so big that he can't move it?
Yeah.
It's taking, you know, the ultimate authority and power away from God, and it's putting it on yourself. It's saying that you know better, that you know this is how you're to be created. How do you know that? How do you know that you were supposed to be created as a girl, or how do you know that you're supposed to be created as a boy? You don't. You're basing off of feelings, off of emotions. And so that's what's really dangerous about that, is that it can take it can really just take the authority and the power away from God, his sovereignty.
Yeah.
What do you think if the person feels like they are a mistake? Like not necessarily like, well, God made a mistake. He made a mistake, it's his fault. Like, the person themselves feels like they are a mistake.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person? That's kind of like a different viewpoint.
Yeah, I think you've really got to you've got to esteem those people. You've really got to build them up, to let them know that they are loved, that they are beautiful, that they are perfect just the way they are. You know, a lot of times people feel that way because they feel uncomfortable. Maybe a boy feels like he should be a girl because he doesn't get along with the other boys at his school, but he really gets along with the girls. He feels more sensitive. Maybe his father is a stern figure, and so he feels closer to his mom than he does to his dad. There's a number of different factors that can cause that to happen, but what it really boils down to is they feel uncomfortable in their own skin. So what you have to do is you have to make them feel comfortable in their skin. You've got to let them know, if it's a boy, look, you are so handsome, you are so cool. It's you know, God has such a plan for your life. God loves you. God made you in the perfect image of himself. And then also, you know, likewise with the girl, let them know, you're so beautiful. God has such an incredible plan for your life. I love you. I care for you. You know, this is a safe place. I'm a safe listener. And it's something you've got to build. You've got to structure around them a sense of belonging, a sense of acceptance, a sense of love, and a sense of care. And I really believe that you know, a guy has to do it with a guy, and a girl has to do it with a girl. A lot of times the reason that people go down those paths is because they feel like they don't have the right amount of structure, love of a boy with his father, maybe a girl with her mother, even a girl with her father. I think a father is a huge role within a child's life, and so I think it's very important for not just the mom to be coddling and loving and caring. It's very important to have a father do that as well. It's very important
to, as a father, make sure to tell your kids that you love them, that you think that they're beautiful, that you think that they're incredible masterpieces of God's work. Yeah. It's important to show them that security. And I think it's also very important too, we've talked about this before, as a father, to tell your kids how much you love your wife. I think that's very important, because what it does is it shows them from a very, very early age, you know, what marriage should look like between a man and a woman, and what true love should look like, and what that should be displayed as within someone's life. Yeah. And so I think that that's going to be really important within that, making someone feel loved, making someone feel cared for, making someone feel accepted as they are, not as how they think they should be.
Yeah.
If they can realize that the way that I am, I'm accepted and I'm loved, you know, even though I feel like maybe I have these emotions and these feelings like I should be something else, the way that I am is perfect.
And you were created for a purpose. Did you ever see, I can never pronounce his last name, Nick, it's like Vujicic.
Yeah,
he was a quadriplegic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
30 years old. What's born his name? In Australia.
Nick,
he was on Oprah with Rick Warren.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like sharing the story, mm-hmm. because at 10 years old, dude tried to commit suicide because he was born without arms or legs, and it's like, this has to have been a mistake. This shouldn't be. I shouldn't have been created like this. And his story of triumph after enduring years of tragedy is incredible. So maybe we can post that article. I mean. That means we'd have to link to Oprah.
And then straight up, like, I identify with that a little bit, not in the transgender thing, but just like the whole, if you view yourself as a mistake, because like, honestly, I have a lot of days where I feel like a complete and total failure.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't make sense because I mask it pretty well, except I found out that I have like resting angry face or something. So I don't know what that's about.
I think it has a more PG-13 term.
But right. Seriously, like, there are days, because most of the major things in my life that I've set out to do have been failures, right. quote unquote. Like, I mean, you look back at Waverly, failure. And to some, they'd say, no, you got to tour the country and you got to do this.
You guys sold 30,000 records.
But we had aspirations for more,
right.
and it didn't work out. And it was circumstances beyond our control, and we ended up breaking up. You look at House of Heroes. It was like, well, this is something I can transition into, and I'm really excited about it. And then that band, they're still active and stuff, but it's totally not what it was, you know? And so, and then I got the job out here, and I was so excited about the Ministry of Static and what we were doing. And even some people have looked at that and labeled it a failure.
Right.
And it's so hard to just be like, am I not a failure? Because every major thing that I've set out to do has failed.
Right.
And so if you're out there and that's what you're thinking, I am a failure at my core, I'm a mistake, you're not. And
absolutely not.
You have to, luckily I'm blessed to be surrounded by people that actively speak into my life and say, hey, you don't have to feel like that.
Right.
It's just like Nate was saying, our emotions get the best of us in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that you look at the ministry of Christ, you can label that as a failure if you want to, because this dude, he was born, then we don't know what happened for years and years and years, and then he comes back when he's 30 and he has this ministry and it's reaching people and people are being changed literally and figuratively, and then he got crucified mm-hmm. by a group of people that didn't like him. I'm sure many of his disciples were like, wolf.
Well, you
awesome.
Look at Peter, he's like, fine, I'm going back to fishing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like?
And
you find him on the beach, like, well, this sucks.
And then, like, it was a totally different ministry than what everybody was expecting.
Right.
Jesus comes in and completely changes the way that people look at how God's kingdom was going to be.
This servant king.
They thought it was
going to
be a military ruling, you know, and we're going to be like awesome up, you know, bossing people around. And then he's totally like, no.
Right.
Opposite. Also, I'm going to die on the cross for something I didn't do.
Right.
You know, and then you look at his disciples after the fact. Most of them were martyred.
Yeah.
You look at all, like even Mother Teresa, a recent example, like her diary came out, and every single day she struggled with crippling depression.
Yeah.
Crippling, like, God, where are you? But she continued to do the right thing.
She was faithful.
And so if you're out there and you're a believer and you're like, God, why do I feel like a failure all the time?
Yeah.
Number one, you're not a failure. And number two, you're in great company, because we all feel like failures.
We really do.
But we can totally break through that, because Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
And then really philosophically, if someone says God made me wrong, I would just respond to them, are you God? Mm-hmm. And they might say, well, what do you mean? Well, the only way you could know that God made you wrong is if you are God, or if you've had private conversations with God that we don't know about.
Right.
Because otherwise, you can't know that.
Yeah.
Well, we believe that God made you exactly the way he wanted to. He made you in this beautiful creation. He made you perfect the way that you are. And God didn't make you wrong. God made you exactly the way he wanted you. And so unless you're God, you can't know that. And so saying that you were made wrong takes that authority and that sovereignty from God and places on yourself. So philosophically, that's how I would approach it if it got to that point.
Because you are beautiful, no matter what they say.
Stop it, Christina.
Words can't bring Steve down.
There he goes. Go to the phone.
You can't bring Steve down.
Answer the phone call. Okay, somebody fine. Is waiting.
505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. I really wish we had that Christina Aguilera song right now.
I'm glad
Hello?
We don't.
Hi, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
It's Janae again.
Hey. Janae. What up, girl?
That was me earlier.
The only,
oh my gosh!
The only person who we can ever count. That's like sad. That's no, like that's okay. you know what that you know what this is like.
It.
It's like that kid who can't find a date to prom, so his mom goes.
Oh,
with
him. That's not.
That's
sad.
What shock therapy love is.
What if that kid's listening? Is like, wait, that's not acceptable.
That's what shock therapy live is. It's like, oh, people don't actually call, so my wife has to call.
No, that's not why I called.
What's up? What's up, Janae?
I called because I had the whole 10th Avenue North on my heart when you guys were talking for the first part of the segment.
Uh-huh.
And then Steve-O took it. So I was like, Holy Spirit, you did it. And so I hung up. I didn't hang up because he didn't have Doug. I mean, not that I don't like Doug. Doug, you're awesome.
How do you hate Doug?
Doug is awesome. Doug is awesome.
But it was just because the Holy Spirit put it on your heart. So it was like, hey, he knows how to reach people without me. There you go.
Boom.
And
I
then
like
you had to make the whole comment, like, oh, she hung up, da-da-da-da. Like, oh,
we didn't know who it was. We didn't know who you were.
Thanks, Janae. It's cool, though, that the Holy Spirit used that, because I think that speaks to...
We thought you were an angry fan who we offended.
That speaks to what KP said to us for Staff Devos, that you never understand the reach of a ministry, because last night at 10th Avenue North, he spoke some incredible words from stage, and he doesn't know where those words are going to carry out, because then here we are this morning sharing those words. It's a reminder of us, man, to be those reflectors, and what the words that come out of our mouth are going to do a harm, or they're going to help someone. And we, a lot of times, we don't even see the fruit of that. So
now, can you say what he said in his accent?
I can't.
Can you try?
He's really, he's got that kind of Nashvillean, like
Nashvillean.
Yeah, it's a different accent. It's almost
it's
like
Indian.
A,
where are they from?
Oh, you're talking about KP. I'm thinking of 10th Avenue North.
Oh, I'm talking about KP because you said KP.
Sorry.
You just said KP.
I probably could, but I don't want to offend anybody because I just saw Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, so that's all I'm thinking.
I think you should try it.
Love that, dude. Janae,
never,
thank you so much for
calling.
Never
know the reach.
Yeah, but I have to say
ministry.
Something else.
Okay, good. Please
really
do.
I'm horrible.
Please do. It's better than Nate's Indian accent.
Thank you very much.
There you go. To the person who was calling about being a mistake, I would also, on the philosophical side, say it's the entry of sin. Like, after the fall, that's when disease came about. That's when, you know, everything really took place. There are people who are born hermaphrodites and talk about confusion of not knowing who you are and your
right.
identity. It's like, you know, I came out. Or even being deformed or being born without limbs. That all came after the fall.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's the entry of sin that really brought that about. And so it's not a matter of like, oh, God made a mistake. Did he allow the consequences of sin to take place? Yes, but that doesn't mean you have to be defined by that.
Yeah.
You know, and that you can find your true identity in the Lord, and that if you are confused and uncomfortable in your skin, you know, you can talk to somebody about it and really find the root of it.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like Nate was saying, well, maybe it's the lack of a father figure, or it's too stern of a father figure, or these things. It's like, well, again, that influence is somebody else hurting you, somebody else's sin that is affecting you. And so, I don't know, I was just seeing it from that perspective. Absolutely.
And it's a solid reminder for Christians that we need to be unshockable listeners. I think that's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live, to be an open ear for somebody struggling, dealing with something. Because a lot of times people don't feel like they can share this because the church has been closed off to it. Or, oh, we can't talk about that. We don't want to say that. We don't want to misspeak. And there are people who are hurting and dying daily because they're allowing these thoughts to be captive in their brain, and they just can't release them.
And you know, the whole transgender issue, it really can be traced to the sense of moral relativism within a culture. You know, we're taught from a young age that you can be anything that you want, which also in our moral relativistic culture means if you're a boy, if you really want to be a girl, you can be. Or if you're a girl, you really want to be a boy, you can be. And so this moral relativistic culture has kind of taught us that however you feel you are, whatever you think is right is okay as long as you sincerely believe it. And so, you know, we really need to combat that, because again, this is where I said it all comes back to a view of yourself as God. With moral relativism, it takes you to the place where you're the ultimate judge of right and wrong, and so you're ultimately the God figure within your life, and no one can tell you what's wrong. But the place that gets dangerous is then, you know, what if Ted Bundy decides that all of a sudden, okay, what's right to me is to kill people? Well, you don't have any moral high ground to tell them that what they're doing is wrong, because if moral relativism is true and everyone can do what's right in their own eyes, then the serial killers can do what they want, and we can't ever say anything against them. We can never talk against them because they're only doing what's right in their own eyes. And so moral relativism is very dangerous because it leads to a place where everybody can do whatever they want and nobody can point the finger at them and say what you're doing is wrong.
Does that mean I can't share my segment about polygamy, because I was really excited? I had this dream and I feel like it's on the horizon for my life.
We can do that if we can get Chrissy on the phone, on the line, and have a mutual conversation about it.
This is awesome.
But then that means Chrissy and I share ultimate authority. That's still wrong. Boom!
Truth.
There you go. Truth. Truth is powerful. Thanks, Janae.
Sure.
All right. Later.
Peace, she said.
Phone lines are open. Peace.
Well, at least somebody likes
us.
At least somebody listens and likes us.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Or, of course, you can submit your email questions if they're, you know, potentially.
I bet my mom's listening.
Nate, you're not a failure. People love you.
Oh, I like that. See, we're just full circle. All right, we got another email question. Let's see what we got.
All right, here we go. My husband and I have been married 10 years. I have 4 of my own children, and he has 3. We also have 1 together. So
the Brady Bunch.
Nuclear family.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a nuclear mixed family?
No, I don't know. I think the nuclear family is like the perfect family.
Oh, okay. That's the Brady Bunch.
So this is
the Brady Bunch. I'm not kidding.
Radioactive spider family.
I like that.
Yeah, so totally four of her own children.
Nuclear fallout family?
Fallout boy. Her husband has 3 of his own, and they have 1 kid together.
Okay.
That's where we're at. Throughout our marriage, we've struggled with his kids respecting our marriage. I know he wants to do right by our marriage, but struggles with guilt for his children. For most of our relationship, his children have decided to separate themselves from us, so we have very little to no contact with them. His children are now 21, 18, and 16, and this is still a daily struggle for us. I'm really at the end of my road after all these years. I love my husband, hate the thought of divorce, but that is where I feel it's headed. Any words of advice would help.
Wait, that seems like it took a quick turn for the worse. Can you read the whole thing again?
Yes. Okay. They have 8 kids.
They've been married 10
years.
One
of which is their own.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they've been married 10 years. She has 4 of her own children. He has 3.
Okay.
His kids, who are 21, 18, and 16, I guess don't talk to them at all.
At all.
Basically. Okay. Little to zero contact. So he has a ton of guilt because of all that, and I guess it's a daily struggle, and it looks like it's just leading up to where it's going to be too much.
This is where it's difficult. It seems like we have this giant middle part of this story that we're not told between kids don't talk to us, we're going to get a divorce.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what happened in between there? There's got to be something else happening in the marriage to lead you to a place of we're going to get a divorce. Why? Oh, because our kids don't talk to us.
Yeah.
Very strange. And so there's a huge, huge gap in the story that you know, we really need to hear and talk about. But I definitely think there's a lot of factors that can happen. You've got a lot of things happening. You've got kids. Number one, you've got a mixed family between kids from both, and that can add stress to to the marriage. It can add stress to the kids because ultimately, you know, the mom's kids are always going to feel like the dad loves his kids more than them. The dad's kids are always going to feel like mom loves her kids more than them. And then you have this one kid, the Joseph, who mom and dad both love, and all the kids feel like, oh man, mom and dad love their kid instead of us. Joseph, that he wants us to bow down to him or something. And then you've also got, in the middle of this, you've got an empty nest syndrome, another thing that causes stress to a marriage. A lot of parents have a really hard time when kids start growing up and moving out of the house. Mm-hmm. So you've got empty nest syndrome happening at the same time. And not only do you have empty nest syndrome, you've got empty nest syndrome with the kids not wanting to talk to you anymore. It also sounds like, just based off the age of the kids, that you're probably in midlife. And so the husband could also be experiencing midlife crisis. My kids are moving out. What purpose do I have? You know, what have I done with my life? And so you've got a lot of compounding factors that can add great stress to the marriage. And I think that they are all contributing. And I think there's probably also other things that we're not hearing in the story
right. That
are contributing to the situation. Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend is that you and your husband find a Christian counselor, go sit down and talk about these things. If you just sit down and tell everything that you've told us and more to a Christian counselor, they're going to see all those things as well and say, well, here's the factors that might be contributing to your marriage falling apart.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to really help you and work through that with you. And so I think that that's probably your best bet.
I would also shut your mouth on using the D word, because anytime that opens up that conversation, it becomes an option, and it is absolutely not an option. Divorce is not an option in your marriage. I don't know about the previous marriages for either side of you. However, again, I'm a staunch advocate of not being able to use that word, because once it becomes once it's on the table, it's like, oh, there's my out. And you don't have a play. You don't have an out. If you consider yourself a Christian, if you call yourselves followers of Jesus Christ, biblically speaking, according to your email, unless there is a lot of stuff we're missing, there is zero cause for divorce in this email.
And that's why you need to see a counselor, because you guys have obviously either, I would assume you've both had a divorce before with the kids, or you were both just living in sin and had multiple kids. But considering that you probably had a divorce, first divorce is always really scary for people. They're always really scared of what's going to happen. If they're a Christian, they believe what God said, and so they're always really scared about being ostracized. They're scared. First divorce is very scary and very alarming. But for a lot of people, after they've had a first divorce, they realize, oh, I didn't blow up. God didn't strike me with lightning. I still have friends. I still have places to go. The second divorce, that's why it's so common for people to get a second divorce, is because once you've done it once, it's not as scary the second time. It's just like skydiving. First time jumping out of a plane is terrifying. The next time, not so much. The third time, oh, it's kind of fun now. You know, it's the same with divorce. For a lot of people, the first time is really scary. But for a lot of people, once they get divorced once, it's just a pattern, because they realize, oh, you know, this is an easy way out. You know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. It would just help me. It was good. And so, you know, you've really got to, especially if you're going into your second marriage, safeguard that marriage with everything that you can, because the odds are against you.
Man.
Yeah, I think there's a, I could have the statistic wrong, but I remember reading that like second marriages, or if you get divorced once, you're like, it goes up like 60% more that you will get divorced again. Like the percentage drastically increases.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I'm going to find it really quick, because it really is alarming. Because right now the divorce rate in America is about 50%.
Yeah.
And so the second and third marriages progress astronomically from that, to the point where by the time you're on, like, for some people, their fifth or sixth marriage, you're at, you know, almost 100% chance of divorce. So this is what it says. Statistics show that 50% of first marriages end in divorce, 67% of second, and 73% of third marriages end in divorce.
Wow.
And I mean, and it just skyrockets from there to the point where some people who are on their, you know, fourth and fifth marriages, there's little hope that that's going to last.
The best 2 years of my life. No? Oh. Okay. All right. It's Shock Therapy Live. It's true, though. I mean, you're right. That's not making it, that's not saying it's okay in any way, shape, or form, but that kind of is the angle where this email is coming from, is like, well, it doesn't feel like an option, but my kids,
you know what?
My kids really,
we got to speak to the amount of guilt that this guy feels.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of circles, and including Christian circles, because we are, our goal, our hardline goal, is to not get divorced and to throw that word out.
Yeah.
But when it happens, people walk around shattered for months, for a year. It sounds like for years. And that guilt can build up so much that it can ruin your second marriage if you get, and that sounds like what to me what's going on.
And the guilt of the kids, like, oh, but these are my kids,
and so it's super easy.
With the divorce,
and so it's like super easy to go, well, you should have never gotten divorced. You know, but and I don't think that's what y'all. I'm not saying that's what y'all are saying, but that's probably what this guy has heard.
Though, do not get a second divorce.
Yeah, you guys need to work hard. You got to work hard to do it,
dude. Here's some interesting statistics from the Daily Beast: 15 ways to predict divorce, and it's very kind of interesting statistics. If you're a married American, your average you're between 40% and 50% likely to end in divorce. If you live in a red state, you're 27% more likely to get divorced than if you live in a blue state. If you argue with your spouse about finances once a week, your marriage is 30% more likely to end in divorce than if you argue with your spouse about finances less frequently. If your parents were divorced, you're at least 40% more likely to get divorced than if they weren't. If your parents married others after divorcing, you're 91% more likely to get divorced.
Wow.
If only one partner in your marriage is a smoker, you're 75% to 91% more likely to divorce than smokers who are married to fellow smokers.
What if your baby smokes? I'm just kidding.
This is an interesting one. If you have a daughter, you're 5% more likely to have a divorce than if you have a son.
Huh. Whoa.
If you're
glad we have boys.
If you're an evangelical Christian adult who has been married, there's a 26% likelihood that you've been divorced, compared to a 28% chance for Catholics and a 38% chance for non-Christians.
Wow.
If you live in Wayne County, Indiana, and are over 15 years old, there's a 19.2% chance that you've been divorced.
What?
Dang, Wayne County,
was
Indiana.
The oddest statistic I've ever heard.
Is that where Erie, Indiana
statistic.
Is?
Yeah. Oh, man.
If both you and your partner have had previous marriages, you're 90% more likely to get divorced than if you had, and then if this had been the first marriage for both of you.
Wow.
So, real quick, speak to the person that had the divorce. They've been walking around for years with this guilt. Their kids won't talk to them. Speak to this guy. And now it's looking like the second one is going to fail. What do you say to that person?
Instead of focusing on, oh my gosh, this is going to fail. Oh my gosh, this is going to fail. I'm a failure. My last one failed. This is destined to fail. Stop focusing on what's going to happen if your marriage is going to fail and start focusing on what's going to happen if your marriage is a success.
Absolutely.
Start thinking about what it could do for your kids, what it could do, you know, for your son that you've had together. Start thinking about the success that could happen in your life if you guys worked hard and made this marriage work. And start focusing your energy on making it work. Do everything in your power to safeguard that marriage. Like a little seed, like Steve-O's peaches when the big freeze comes in. Wrap a blanket around that sucker and do everything you can to save those peaches.
That's awesome.
That was amazing.
That's awesome.
What was that?
Now, for real though, because you got a divorce, you hurt your kids, it happened.
Right. Yeah.
Leave it behind.
Nothing you can
give
do about
it to
that.
God and walk away from it.
That's why I think throwing the divorce word out is so dangerous, because then it gives you the out and you start thinking of the what ifs. Mm-hmm. You start going, okay, well, all right, well, it looks like we're getting a divorce. Okay, I need to work on getting an apartment. Where am I going to live? I'm probably going to be ostracized by this group of friends. Okay, so I'm going to have to I might lose my job. I
got
to start.
Got coming up at Calvary. I'm not sure what week it is, but we've got Jesus Loves the Divorced coming up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, tune into that, catch that, because that can give you some great hope as well.
Absolutely. Man, we have a question, but we have like 60 seconds left. So we're going to, okay, cool. They hung up. Perfect.
It was probably Janae again.
Without further ado, our outro, you know, our boy Rhett, who listens in, he chimes in, he comments, he asks questions. He is a local musician. He said, you guys don't have outro music. So he wanted to hook us up with outro music. Oh, see, it sounds like, shocking.
Oh, the person called
shocking.
Back.
It's okay. We're out of show. Sorry, guys. If we didn't get to your call, if we didn't get to your question, we apologize. We've had 55 minutes to answer them. Next time, I'm sorry. You got to call earlier. Thanks to everybody who sent
now,
an email.
Now, to be
question.
Fair, the person who did hang up, they were on the line for about 10 minutes.
They were.
That's because we were answering the divorce question.
I know. But I'm just wanting to, I don't want to be like, hey, that person's like, hey, I did call a little bit earlier.
If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast, star88.fm/shocktherapylive. That is it for us. On the way, some Mickey Echo, some Mumford. It's been fun.
I gotta say, I think USSR, back in the USSR, is gonna be better in outro music than
this. We'll see what happens. Until next time, it's Shock Therapy Live.
Star 88.